Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loric. Coming up today, we're going to talk about Social Security and what the president's proposal for Social Security means for people who are either counting on Social Security right now or looking forward to retiring in the next few years. And later on, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. President Trump's executive order calling for a payroll tax holiday is prompting many to ask, what does that mean for the future of Social Security? Well, payroll taxes are taken from both employers and workers to help fund government programs such as Social Security and Medicare. Currently, employers and workers each pay 6.2% towards Social Security, or 12.4% total. Social Security payroll tax phases out for incomes above $137,000. President Trump announced on Saturday that he plans to put a temporary payroll tax holiday in place for workers who make less than $100,000 a year. The tax suspension would likely run from as soon as now through the end of the year. He says that if I'm victorious in the presidential election, he says he plans to forgive these taxes and make permanent the cuts to the payroll tax. The deferral of the 6.2% payroll tax on employees for the last 3 months of this year could mean that up to $100 billion in payments to the Social Security Trust Fund would be delayed. Earlier today, I spoke with Max Richmond, who's president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, and he says that this could be a disaster for Social Security. We're going to hear that interview right now. Max Richmond, welcome to WMNF. Welcome back, I should say. President Trump said Saturday he plans to put a temporary payroll tax holiday in place for workers who make less than $100,000 a year. And he says this tax suspension would likely run from about now through the end of the year. He also said if he's victorious in November, he plans to forgive these taxes and make permanent the cuts to the payroll tax. As somebody who's trying to preserve Social Security, what do you think about that?
Well, it's about the worst idea that has come out of this White House in a while. The president has an obsession with the payroll tax. He's been talking about cutting it for months, and now that he couldn't convince the Congress to go along, he's just decided unilaterally to take that action. You know, Rob, I read yesterday Nobel economist Paul Krugman. He put it about as incisively as anybody could. He said the payroll tax cuts, he compared them to the hydroxychloroquine of economic policy. And by that he meant that these payroll tax cuts don't do much for the economy, do very little or nothing for unemployed because they're not paying payroll taxes because they're not getting paid, and has some dangerous side effects to the Social Security program.
The Social Security Trust Fund is safe for 15 years. What would it do to cut the payroll taxes, cut the taxes that we pay into Social Security? What would it do to the safety of the trust fund?
Well, you're correct. The trustees have reported that the Social Security Trust Fund is able to pay full benefits until the year 2035. And at that point, with no changes in law, the program will only be able to pay about 80% of benefits. That situation has been aggravated. We don't have analysis of what happens to that date, how closer it becomes to the present, because of changes that are happening regardless of the payroll tax cut. We have enormous unemployment. What does that mean? Fewer people paying payroll tax because they're not working. That's going to move that date even closer. Taking a deferral on payroll tax that the president's been talking about, I've had some economists look at it, and it will probably cost the trust fund about $330 billion between September 1st and December 31st. That moves that date even closer to the present. So you're looking at a situation that, with the Social Security Trust Fund, ability to pay full benefits that is aggravated by the unemployment we have and further aggravated by deferring payroll taxes for the rest of this year. I'm not sure the president fully comprehends or maybe even cares about the Social Security Trust Fund and how it is this program is funded. It has a dedicated revenue stream. The only money that goes into the Social Security program is through the payroll tax. This is a president who, as a candidate, time and again during all those debates, 17 people running for the Republican primary in 2016, he's the only one who said time and again, I won't cut Social Security, I won't touch Medicare. He's doing a lot more than touching Social Security and Medicare by this payroll tax deferral. He's strangling the program. He's cutting off the revenue flow that makes it possible for Social Security to pay full benefits.
So when you say strangling, then it's not too strong of a word to say that the president is attacking the very existence of Social Security benefits.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. Now, he's saying, well, if you know, what is so disturbing is he's at the same time he put out this executive order, he made a comment, maybe it was the day after, that if I'm reelected, I'm going to not just defer these payroll taxes, but when you get to January of 2021, I'm going to forgive them. So the money won't be coming in through the payroll tax at all. You know, this is so transparent. It's a really an effort that puts Social Security and Medicare benefits on the chopping block. Why? Trading these incredibly successful safety net programs for what? For votes. That's what this is about. I heard the president yesterday, before he got on the plane to come back to Washington from New Jersey, say that, well, we're going to move money from general revenues to fill in this hole in the event that we don't collect these payroll taxes next year. Well, I'm not going to count on that. I'm already looking at a Congress. You know, they could not get a relief bill through the Senate because so many senators have taken the position, well, we've already spent so much money. We can't afford this. You can very easily see a scenario next year, if this all transpires as the president seems to be determined to make it happen, where the Congress is going to say, well, we don't have the money. We have spent all these trillions of dollars. We can't fill in the gap that is left there because payroll taxes were deferred for the rest of 2020. So we're going to have to look at other approaches to Social Security. And what does that mean? Cutting benefits, cutting the COLA, reducing the benefit, raising the retirement age once again. So that's why this is such a dangerous, I mentioned it, Paul Krugman called it a dangerous side effect. There will be repercussions to the Social Security program that will be devastating to beneficiaries, and it's going to happen a lot sooner than 2035.
Finally, what happens to Medicare? Medicare is part of the payroll taxes. Both programs are pay-as-you-go. They're self-funded by the workers and their employees. What happens to Medicare if President Trump is successful and the payroll tax is cut and the money is not restored by Congress?
Well, same danger to the Medicare program. Medicare is funded partially by the payroll tax, 1.45% on the employer and the employee side. That's going to be deferred, so that money will not be going into the Medicare Part A program. Medicare Part A, funded by a trust fund, that's mostly the hospital part of Medicare coverage. Part B is the doctors and other providers. That's already paid for out of general revenue. So it's the hospitals are going to have to struggle. And keep in mind, the trustees of Social Security that have told us the program is solvent, able to pay full benefits till 2035. When it comes to Medicare, it's about 10 years sooner than that. So this is much even more immediate. Frankly, I'm surprised we haven't heard. Maybe they're out there, but I haven't heard the comments from the hospitals. They're going to suffer, and when they suffer, it means it will have an impact on beneficiaries getting treated at hospitals.
Max Richmond, that's all I was going to ask. Is there anything else that you'd like to add and point out that we haven't covered?
No, I think you got it all down pat.
Max Richmond, thank you for coming back on WMNF.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, that interview was from earlier today. Max Richmond is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. And we were talking about President Trump's executive order calling for a payroll tax holiday and ending the requirement that people pay into the Social Security system for the next few months until the end of the year. If you want to comment about that, you can email us in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. You can also call us at 813-239-9663. And we'll see where this conversation goes. And if you support the president's idea, let us know. And if you are on Social Security, let us know. Let us know what you think. And if you are planning to retire in the next 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years, let us know what you think. 813-239-9663. Well, there's a lot of other news going on, too. I'll mention a few other stories that we could talk about. The confirmed number of coronavirus cases in the world has reached 20 million, according to Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. and India and Brazil have together accounted for nearly two-thirds of all the cases recorded in the last 3 weeks. And 40% of people who have COVID-19 have no symptoms. It took 6 months to get to 10 million cases just after the virus first appeared in central China late last year. 6 months to get to 10 million cases. It just took 6 weeks for that number to double. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And if you want to call in, looks like people want to talk about Social Security, so we'll do that for a little bit. Let's go to Nick, who's calling in. Nick, what city are you in?
I live in St. Petersburg.
All right, Nick, thanks. What would you like to say?
I was going to see if I could talk to Henny Penny before he left, but I guess the sky fell on him, so thanks anyway.
And Nick, is that all you got? Okay. So do you think it's a good idea to cut the Social Security payroll tax? Let's go to Ron in West Tampa. Ron, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Thank you, Rob. I'd like to say that it's, in a history of bad ideas, it's one of the worst ideas, and I am absolutely opposed to it. Sure, I can say it's a little bit of favoritism because here's me hoping and wishing that in the next, I'm going to say within the next 8 to 10 years, I'll have the luxury of being able to retire with a Social Security supplement. But I don't know. I don't see how anybody can look at this bedrock, foundationally sound program that is taken from a separate tax and try to discount it. I did call, and I'm not holding my breath, I called my two senators and my representative in Congress, and I was able to get through, not to a living person, but Rick Scott, for example, who's my senator, when I called, they emphasized how, despite COVID, they are looking forward to hearing from their constituents, and please leave your name and contact information and all that good stuff. So I did. In fact, I repeated it respectfully twice, expressed my complete opposition to the president cutting the payroll tax, not just for me, but for others who I know who are right now dependent on it. And so I'm waiting patiently to see and see if I hear back from them, because they emphasize they want to keep in touch with their constituents. But I think it's like I said, in a long history of bad thoughts and ideas, doing this is just wrong, and I think it's politically motivated. That's not original, but I got to say that paying all my life, and when I think about my parents paid into Social Security all their life, to me it's a give and take that's the most fairest of concepts. We're not asking others to give more than we ourselves are paying into it, you know?
So Ron, I am interested in the fact that you were able to get through. You were able to call your two U.S. senators and get through.
Well, like I said, I did not speak to a human person. I spoke to a recording.
So okay. All right. Well, that's less satisfying for sure.
Yeah, that's a lot less satisfying. And I've called them within the last month on a couple of other issues, not pertaining per se to Social Security, and I have not heard back from them in any form, neither by a phone call, an automated email response, or anything. So I would think that the least they could do is try to respond, and I certainly don't expect that they're going to drop what they're doing and get back to me the next day. But like I said, I'm waiting and hopeful and watchful to see if I'll get any acknowledgement. And I don't make any bones about it. Rick Scott couldn't care less about working people. That's my opinion. But he is my senator. So whether I'm in his camp or not, I would expect that he would give me some bang for the buck and at least acknowledge my presence and my concern. So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Rick Scott, of course, has made his nut, and he never has to work again in his life, and probably his grandchildren will never have to work a day in their life either.
Yep. So true. Well,
all right.
Thanks again, Rob. Appreciate
Ron, thanks a lot. Thank you. Let's go to Jack in Oldsmar. Jack, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
You're welcome, Rob. Rob, I think a lot of what the problem might be is not necessarily the president, but just the economy in general. And
Jack, why would you say something like that? The president has a lot of power over what happens. Why do you think? What do you think about his idea to cut the payroll tax?
Well, I'm basing my statement on the fact that a lot of mutual funds, like the Magellan Fund, the large mutual funds, Morgan Stanley no longer manages Citibank, their retirement account. And a lot of this started taking place way back during the Y2K issue.
Jack, what does that have to do with Social Security? Try to stay on track here.
Well, the mutual funds and Social Security are the same thing. They're a retirement program.
No. The mutual funds and Social Security are not the same thing. Jack, I'm sorry. You know, Jack, you call every day, and let's let some other people get a chance, because you do call every day, and you try to call every show. And frankly, I don't think that you're on target, and I hope I'm not offending you. 813-239-9663. David writes this. Lots of emails have come in. David writes, I think it's disastrous, a political move for Trump to eliminate or cut or defer the payroll tax. Trump is depending on old white people to vote for him. If these folks realized what this ridiculous move really means, then they would be smart to drop Trump and turn to Biden instead. And Biden should start running ads to show the disastrous consequences, writes David. Do you think that Biden is up to that? Do you think that Biden is sharp enough to do that here in Florida? If the Lincoln Project was on top of it, or if that was their issue, there would be a Lincoln Project ad today up about this question. That's my thought about that. Stephen writes this, it also sounds to me like Trump is trying to buy votes. If you elect me, you won't have to pay. If you do not elect me, you will have to pay, writes Stephen. You know, remember what Max Richmond told us. He said, look, President Trump is expecting that Congress will, after the first of the year, vote to take money from the general revenue and put it back into the Social Security Trust Fund to make it whole. But knowing that Congress is not in the mood to do something like that, it's a pipe dream. That's what Richmond says, and he says that this will damage Social Security. Karen writes this, I have been counting down the years. I have 5 left to go until I'm 62, and I can take partial Social Security, so no, I'm not happy about this idea at all, writes Karen. And Dan writes, we pay into Social Security and count on it when we reach retirement age. Ever since Social Security was created, the Republicans have been trying to kill it. Trump's proposals are part of that effort, and that by itself should be reason to vote Trump out of office. Trump is a thief, writes Dan. Dan, thanks for your thoughts. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. I remember Obama did something similar, correct? He cut the payroll tax for a period of time.
Obama cut the payroll tax, but and I'll have to look this up, but he was able to restore the money that he took out of
my question is,
the trust fund.
I'm just wondering if that's constitutionally legal, since it was a congressional legislation that made the tax. I mean, did anybody challenge Obama's constitutionality on that cut? I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know the history of that. I'll have to look it up. John, those articles are out there on Google News that tell us exactly what happened. And you can, if you're, I don't know what you're, are you working right now or are you sitting next to your computer?
I'm sitting at my computer.
All right. So, and if you're not working, you can do a Google News search and actually find that out.
Well, I'm just wondering what the legality is, or is that...
Well, you can actually find that out, too. I mean, that's going to be, there will be news stories that have registered that. And I wouldn't mind if you were to look up an article and call us, because I don't know everything. You know, some people think that radio talk show hosts know everything, and they don't.
Well, I'm asking more for the general audience, because I'm sure there's probably someone out there that's a constitutional scholar.
Yeah, but you're next to your computer. You could do it yourself. This information is available to 100% of people that have computers and the internet.
Okay. Well, the other thing is, I think it's a bad idea. I think the other caller's right that the Republicans are probably trying to kill the program, and this is just another nail in the coffin that they want. And yes, a investment fund, the 401k or whatever that is, definitely not the same thing as Social Security.
Yeah, Jack was way off. So, John, why do you think we don't see Joe Biden out there screaming about this today?
That's a good question, because I'm telling you, a lot of the older folks that support him are getting Social Security. Like you said, you see at these Trump rallies, you know, they're supporting Trump, and they think, you know, get rid of the government, but leave your hands off my Social Security. There's that cognitive disconnect there that I think people have.
If Democrats were an opposition party, and if the Democrats supported FDR and all the great programs he set up, wouldn't you expect that the Democrats would be having press conferences in every major city in Florida today to say, look, this idea doesn't make sense and it's going to harm Social Security? If the Democrats were a strong party, wouldn't they do that?
The only thing I can think of is maybe they're just trying to strategize for the election, because it's so far out that maybe it'll have an impact now, but then it'll fizzle out. So maybe as the election gets closer, when it'll have more of an impact, maybe that's when it'll start coming out. I don't know.
Well, they could be busy having meetings. That's true. Maybe they've got better things to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks.
John, thanks a lot. All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. If you were a leader in the Democratic Party and you knew the future of Social Security was at stake because of what President Trump did over the weekend, wouldn't you be holding a press conference, protesting, contacting the media, having a press conference in Washington, having a press conference in Tampa or Miami or Jacksonville or Orlando? If you really wanted to put up a fight against President Trump, wouldn't this be a really important thing to fight about? I don't know. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Kevin writes this: the billionaire education secretary, Betsy DeVos, who is working remotely from her 22,000-square-foot estate on Lake Michigan, has cost taxpayers $25 billion for her personal security. Is this draining the swamp? I know that DeVos is missing in action. I have not seen the source of that has cost taxpayers $25 million for her personal security. And Kevin, if you could... send us an email link where we could actually back that up with maybe a newspaper investigation or something, because I think that it's always dangerous just to say something and not back it up with a source. So, Kevin, thanks. Not that I'm doubting you, but I think we should try to speak in a way that is better than what you're going to get on Fox News or talk radio. Let's go to Richard, who's in South Shore. Richard, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, you handed me a lot, Rob.
Okay. Well, you got 2 minutes. What would you like to say, Richard?
Okay. Obama deferred the tax in 2011 for 3 months. It was reimbursed by Congress later.
Well, from the general revenue?
Correct. It gets reimbursed in two ways. Either the taxpayer has to pay it back or it comes out of the general fund. In that case, it came out of the general fund. Okay. You check all that out, but I'm going from memory, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. As far as the Democrats expressing outrage over Trump, if the Democrats express outrage, which they have, over everything that Trump has done that's outrageous, people are no longer paying attention to him because it's obvious that people don't care. That you know, you're not going to sway people's mind one way or another. I've heard several Democrats come out and denounce these cuts and say it's not legal or it's unconstitutional or this, that, and the other. But apparently it must be legal because it was done once before. And again, there was an understanding that it was going to be replenished from the general fund at that time. But I don't think we have that kind of understanding right now.
Yeah, if the Congress can't come up with a bailout for the American workers right now, what makes anybody think they'll come up with a bailout for the American workers after the first of the year?
More to my personal point, I'm planning on retiring in about a year and a half. It'll be almost 67. And the Social Security right now, so many people I know who are Trump supporters live on just about Social Security alone, and you can't get by on that. And I do not understand how these people, you know, the Republicans are trying to make the destruction of Social Security a self-fulfilling prophecy. One other thing, Rob, on this, and I'm pretty sure this is how it works, on this payroll tax, you pay half, your company pays half. So if they defer the whole tax, then your company doesn't pay anything, and you don't pay anything. So if it's replenished out of the general fund, the company makes out like a bandit.
That is. Correct? It's a subsidy for the companies, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
And some companies need it. If you're a small company, you might need it. But if you're one of those big companies, I mean, the stock market is going up again today. And the billionaires at the top of the food chain here have made tremendous wealth in the last 5 months.
But I think a lot of people don't.
There are people at the top of the chain that don't need the bailout.
Yeah. All right. My 2 minutes are up, Rob.
All right, Richard. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Martin in Palm Harbor writes, I'm 71 years old, and I took my Social Security at 62. No regrets, and have continued to work part-time, and I'm doing fine. Let's hope we eventually get Democrats in control of the White House and both houses of Congress. The first thing they need to enact is an increase on the income cap for Social Security withholding. Even a small increase would solve all the funding problems and hurt no one financially. Yeah, there is a cap on Social Security taxes. It doesn't apply to incomes over $137,000 a year. I think that's the right number. And if they were to lift that cap and tax incomes over $137,000 a year, wages and salaries, then you would solve, as Martin says, the Social Security problem. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's take some more phone calls. We're going to go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, thank you, Rob. I hope some people are paying attention, at least I am, to things that are happening around the world, like in Beirut, Lebanon. And that is the result of years of corrupt, incompetent, greedy government. For God's sake, people, do something about these Republicans and Trump. They're running us into the ground, all of our institutions running it into the ground, and we just seem to stand by and twiddle our thumbs, and eventually, like, you know, people in Beirut, it takes something horrible to happen. I can just imagine what could happen. And then people just have nothing else to lose. But do we really need to get to that point? What are these rich people going to do with all their money anyways? Go with Elon Musk and one of his rocket ships or something to Mars, something like that? I don't know. That's pretty much all I wanted to say. That's my comment.
Thanks, Fran. Thank you. Let's go to Susan in Lake Alfred. Susan, thank you for calling. What's on your mind? Hi, Susan in Lakeland. I'm sorry, Susan in Lakeland. I read that wrong.
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to say you're going on about if Biden is strong enough. We all know Biden's weaknesses. And don't worry, someone's going to put out an ad about this because it's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. I used to do payroll reports for an accountant before they were put on computers, which that's all people do now. Employers are going to screw this up somehow. It's going to just be a bad idea for everybody in the long run. And like you said, it's going to be a big boon for the employers out there. But I just want to say I realize you have problems with Biden, but at this point, it's Biden or nothing, as far as I'm concerned. So that's it.
All right. Thanks, Susan. Thank you. I certainly am not going to ever endorse a candidate. And I try to stay, you know, above the fray and not try to, you know, push one candidate or another candidate. But I do think that if a candidate, whether it's Trump or Biden or a third party candidate, makes a mistake or seems slow to act, I might call it out. I hope that's okay with you. Let's go to Chuck in Tampa. Chuck, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I would agree. There's only so many times, you know, we can run an ad or trot Joe Biden out with a mask on, and it's just not going to work when, you know, Trump's given that political beatdown he gave this weekend. I mean, it's just not going to work. The coronavirus is only going to work so far for Democrats, and, you know, people are getting tired of it. You can beat us over the head with it for so long, and, you know, it's about policy and doing things for the American people, like, you know, putting money in their pockets. Not walking around with a mask on.
So you're okay with cutting the payroll tax?
I'm okay with helping the American people out. That's exactly what Trump did because they were incompetent and couldn't get it done in Congress.
And in the long run, do you worry about Social Security?
Well, Democrats have been telling us they're going to take away Social Security now for 20 years, that we're racist and we're going to take Social Security away. That's a mute argument anymore. People don't buy that.
All right, so you don't think the Republicans really want to do away with Social Security or cut it?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Down here in Florida, you think that's going to go over well? They absolutely don't want to touch Social Security. Don't worry, Trump will make sure the American people know he's not going to touch their Social Security. Unlike Joe Biden, he's too afraid to come out of the bunker and tell anybody anything.
All right, Chuck, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Sean did send this in from the Tampa Bay Times, and this is an article that appeared just a few hours ago on the Tampa Bay Times website. Steve Contorno is the writer, and indeed, Biden is taking out an ad. I wasn't aware of this. So Steve writes, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden has a new message for Florida seniors. President Donald Trump's latest attempt to fix the economic crisis could put their retirement at risk. In a new ad that will air exclusively in the Sunshine State, Biden's campaign accuses Trump of stealing from Social Security to pay for a new round of coronavirus relief. And the Tampa Bay Times article goes on to say, Trump signed an executive order over the weekend giving millions of Americans a four-month break from payroll taxes, a short-term boost in paychecks that equates to about $75 for someone making the median weekly wage of $1,000. But those payroll taxes make up 90% of the funding for Medicare and Social Security, the government programs enjoyed by so many Florida retirees and voters. Nearly 4 million Florida seniors rely on Social Security, and once again, Donald Trump's failed leadership is hitting the seniors hardest, the ad says. You know, I would try to play the ad, but the ad is not playing back. I'm trying to click it, and it doesn't play back. But okay, so bottom line on that, Tampa Bay Times reporting that Joe Biden will put up an ad attacking President Trump over his decision on Social Security. And thanks to Sean Canaan in our newsroom for sending that. Sean, thank you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Angela in Lakeland. Angela, thanks for calling.
Hey, Rob. Just a quick anecdote, if you don't mind. I was in the post office a couple of days ago, and there was a woman arguing, or not arguing, but discussing with teller, postmaster, the lady at the post office, that her mail was not being delivered. And the lady at the post office, the clerk, was trying to explain to her, that she didn't tell her that the postmaster general just enacted new laws and all that and all that and all that. But the lady kept rolling her eyes, and she was upset. But why can't I get my mail? Why can't I get my mail? Why can't we do something about it? Why can't we find out where it is? I have a big mouth, so I stepped in, and I said, ma'am, have you been listening to the news? Have you heard about the new regulations enacted, what the Postmaster General has done to these people? Their hands are tied. They can only deliver your mail when they get it, and they're not getting it because the rules have changed. And she threw up her hands, and she said, well, who do you want to blame for that? And I said, well, I blame Trump. That's when she had a problem. She ran away. She just ran away. Oh, everybody's always blaming Trump. Everybody's always blaming Trump. And that's the typical Republican reaction. Run away from the problems, not face them, not deal with them.
All right, Angela, thanks a lot. Thanks for your story. Thank you, Angela. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Terry in Tampa. Terry, thanks for calling WMNF.
Good morning, Rob, and thank you for being a voice of reason. One quick question. When is Attorney Barr going to start issuing arrest warrants for the last administrations, and what's going to be the repercussions? I'll listen for your answer off air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Well, QAnon, which is the conspiracy website that now it looks like a million people are paying attention to in the U.S., has been saying this for 2 years, that eventually all the deep state people will be arrested, including Hillary Clinton. So far, that's not happened. Most of us know that it is a conspiracy theory, that there's not some vast network of deep state people that are in constant contact with each other and move in a unified way. But there are believers in this conspiracy theory, and I don't know where you'd have a meeting of the deep state. Where would you have that meeting, and how would you tell people what the daily orders are? And if there are tens of thousands of people part of the deep state, who gives the marching orders? Anyway, so that theory is out there, and I think it is growing. I was at the last visit of President Trump to the fairgrounds in Tampa. This was about 2 years ago, and there were hundreds of people there who had QAnon signs, who believe in the theory that Terry was talking about. And several nice people came up to me and said, Rob, you got to investigate the QAnon, and you got to find out more about QAnon. And they just, were all over me, trying to get me to talk about it. Let's go to Remy in Lakeland. Remy, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just a few comments. I know a lot of talk about Biden and how well he'll do against Trump. I'm just perplexed by the selection, the way the DNC rallied around him when there were so many other extremely strong candidates that could have performed so well against Trump. I can't wrap my head around Biden handling a debate with Trump. It's just going to be a disaster. And unless they pump him full of some sort of speed or amphetamine, it's going to be a disaster. And Obama was such a strong president, a strong candidate. He commanded himself so well in the debate. Or you look all the way back to the 60s with JFK and just these powerful Democrats that were strong and strong of mind. And I look at Biden and I'm perplexed at how the DNC rallied around him in the hours leading up to Super Tuesday. It was just bizarre. Candidates dropping out, multiple people suddenly endorsing Biden when he really wasn't polling that well in the weeks leading up to Super Tuesday. So I just can't wrap my head around it, honestly. It's the most bizarre selection for a candidate I've ever seen in my life. So thank you so much.
And, okay. Well, Remy, thanks a lot. It'll be very interesting. I'm sure the whole country will tune into that first debate and see how the candidates do, and you can bet that a lot of media attention will be paid to that, and a lot of people are expecting Trump to mop the floor with Biden. I think a lot of people are expecting that, and we'll see if that happens. Let's go to Kevin and Ruskin. Kevin, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I've never called in before, but Trump Enterprises, isn't Trump Enterprises quite a large employer?
No, it's not. It's Trump does not employ, as it turns out, that many people. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the number of people he employs is quite small.
Oh, is it? Okay. I was just thinking that, you know, Trump seems to do a lot of things in office that might benefit Trump Enterprises personally.
Well, he owns a lot of property, and he does. There are some really good news stories about how during his presidency he steered a lot of government business to his properties, and I don't have those articles in front of me, but that is absolutely true.
Yeah, with real estate opportunity zones, and I was just thinking if he employs a large number of people, the payroll tax cuts might actually be benefiting him personally. I think he does a lot of things in office that actually benefit his private enterprises run by his two sons.
Yeah, he tried to get the British Open, or as they call it, the Open, steered to one of his properties. He was unsuccessful, but he used the power of the presidency to try to do that. And we know that he charges the Secret Service the full rate when they stay with him at Mar-a-Lago. He doesn't give them a discount. And, I mean, there's case after case where Trump properties have benefited from this presidency. And I don't have the news stories in front of me, but it's easy to do a Google news search and find those news stories. But you're right, Kevin. He is using the presidency to enrich his properties. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking with the payroll tax cut. I didn't know. I thought with all the property he owns worldwide, he must be. He must employ quite a few people.
Yeah, a lot of those people are in the service industry. A lot of those people are wait staff and not highly paid. He may save some money. His properties may save some money with the payroll tax break. But, you know, he's the kind of guy that imports workers from foreign countries because he claims that he can't find domestic workers. So It's not like he's running Ford or General Motors or Amazon. So, Kevin, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. And Blaney writes this: I don't understand how a president can make executive actions like the payroll tax elimination. How is this constitutional? Writes Blaney. And Blaney, thank you for that. I think several people point out that President Obama did something similar with the guarantee that Congress would repay the money to the Social Security Trust Fund. Bill writes this: I can't believe this. Diehard supporters don't get how this can turn out. Mine is not going to be much, but at 66, my first deposit will be there tomorrow, I hope, writes Bill. Well, Bill, are you retiring tomorrow? Bill, thanks a lot. David writes this: a good point on the Lincoln Project. If Biden's campaign staff was smart, they would run ads starting this week about the disastrous consequences of the payroll tax idea. David, thank you for that. As we know from Sean and Steve Contorno at the Tampa Bay Times, Biden is coming out with an ad in Florida very soon. Let's go to Greg, who's in Rotunda West. Hi, Greg. You're on M&F. What's up?
I don't know why everybody's so surprised about what Trump's doing. It's a blatant fascist takeover of U.S. democracy. They've been right in our face about it from the start. One of the first things Stephen Miller said was that the president's authority will not be questioned. Steve Bannon said their goal was to take apart the administrative state. So, I mean, and it's obvious to me that he wants to kill as many people as possible with the coronavirus. He's not doing a thing about it. He is under Russia's thumb, has been from the beginning. It's blatantly obvious. If you look at the public record, you don't have to look at the Mueller report, just look at the public record, it's obvious. And this can't wait till November. We're allowing him to be above the law, and there may not be an election in November if it's up to him. So Republicans need to stop lying and covering his ass, and everybody else needs to fight back against the fascists, or U.S. democracy is gone.
All right, Greg, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
All right. And this is 88.5 FM. A bunch of emails have come in. I'm going to try to do some justice to these people that have written in. Dave writes this, to defer the taxes is so simplistic. It does not only appeal to old people, another attempt to show his caring side, not his worry to pay any taxes. That's Dave's email. Thank you, Dave. And then, let's see. Some more people are writing in saying, in fact, Biden is taking out an ad, so thank you very much. Bill writes this, regarding the Social Security shortfall, I think much, if not all, of the Social Security funding problems could be remedied by removing the income cap of paying into the program. Of course, Congress on both sides of the aisle likely doesn't have the will to do this, as it would affect their well-to-do donors, most of whom already have enough money, writes Bill. Bill, thank you for that. And P writes, regarding Trump to stop citizens return back home, I wonder what one must do to re-enter the U.S. if COVID is contacted outside the country. Will American Muslims or African Americans be allowed back? All right, P, I read it for you. There you go. And then Jeffrey writes this, Obama did a temporary payroll tax cut, which is allowed. Trump is calling for a tax deferment, which you will have to pay back. That's where the legal questions come into play, writes Jeffrey. Jeffrey, thank you for that. Let's go to Jackie and Brandon. Jackie, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, what's up?
Well, everybody get ready, because there's only 82 days to go. So let's all count down every day. Just hold on. It's all we got.
Okay. All right. Are you going to vote by mail, Jackie?
No, I'm going to put on my mask, and I'm going to have a glove on, and I'm going to walk in the door, and I'm going to vote on my feet.
Okay. All right. What if there's long lines?
Well, if there's a long line, then I can wait outside. I have patience.
Okay. Jackie, thanks a lot.
All right.
All right. Great to hear from you. So this email comes to us from the 501 area code, and the person says, I wonder if all those people in the government would like to have their retirement cut down to 20% of what they get now. It is way more than any regular person, writes 501. So 501, thank you for that. And Debbie writes this, there's a good opinion piece, a Joe Biden opinion piece, in the Tampa Bay Times today regarding the executive orders, in particular Social Security. So Biden is on the record in the Tampa Bay Times. I haven't read the op-ed section of the Times yet today, but thank you for that, Debbie. Meg writes this, in the past several months, when calling political representatives, Charlie Crist's office has had a live person with whom to share my thoughts. I had to record messages for Marco Rubio and the other Republican offices. Email responses usually arrive weeks later. The GOP politicos send a standard form letter that barely acknowledges a caller's concerns because they stick to their agendas. It always feels like a polite rebuff, writes Margaret. Then Andy in Tampa says, Obama only cut the payroll tax by 2%, and he paid for it by reinstating the inheritance tax, which had lapsed the year prior. It applies a 35% tax rate to estates worth more than $5 million for individuals or over $10 million for families, writes Andy. Andy, thank you for that. And then Lynn writes, approximately 50%. The voting bloc are morons. They vote in morons. This is the system we get. I don't think 50% of the voters are morons. So we all may disagree, but people aren't morons. And then Carrie in St. Petersburg is calling. Carrie, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, one of your earlier callers did bring up the F word, fascism, and I think that that's something that we have to look at. I have a lot of concerns going forward. People say, vote him out, just keep counting down the days, and we'll get there. I'm not so sure. Trump has increased his authoritarian powers, and he's gotten away with it every single time. And all the opposition really does is kind of say stop, or at least she'll say stop again, kind of like a Monty Python skit. He sent federal troops into cities that didn't want them. Every single thing he does, everybody says, oh, no, this is terrible, this is unconstitutional, and he does it anyway, and nobody stops him. I think that our whole system of government is a lot more fragile than we ever realized, and it's premised on the assumption that there will be at least some degree of good faith on all sides. When there is absolutely no good faith on one side, I don't know how we can continue to function.
So, Carrie, let's say the president has already put in a person in charge of the post office who seems
exactly
to want to mess with the post office. But at what point do you stand up, or how do you stand up as an individual who's concerned about the undemocratic things the president is doing?
Well, that is the issue. I mean, I do stand up. Yay. I go to demonstrations. I write. I call. I sign petitions online. None of it makes a damn bit of difference. I don't know how we as individuals stand. I don't think as individuals. I mean, if we could get 2 million people marching on Washington, but I don't.
Okay, so let's. I don't know if this is going to happen, but let's say the vote in the November election for president takes a long time, and
it will.
So instead of knowing the results that night, we don't know the results for 5 or 10 days, and President Trump finds via Fox News and One America News finds instances where somebody voted illegally in a swing state like Michigan. And the president then, or Florida, and the president then says, well, we can't trust the results because Fox News is reporting that somebody voted illegally in Florida. So he says, look, I'm going to stay in office, and we're not going to change because we didn't have a fair election. So what do you do then?
I don't know. I mean, personally, I would be in Washington, and I hope a lot of people would too. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't rule out some kind of violence. I'm hoping that the so-called deep state, the military, the Secret Service, the FBI, are more loyal to their oaths to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States than they are to President Trump. And there's a fairly decent possibility that they are. He's pretty much disrespected all of those agencies and branches of government. So we might have to rely on a deep state coup to get rid of the illegitimate president. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the FBI and all the other federal agencies are divided just like the country. I mean, there are going to be far-right members that back, the kind of craziness that we've experienced, and there's going to be people that abide by the Constitution and say, the president does have to leave office that third week in January. And if that is if President Trump loses. All right, Jack Carey, thanks a lot.
All right,
good to hear from you. Many, many more conversations like this will happen on WMNF. In fact, probably in the next hour, you'll hear the same kind of thing because your hero, Mark Bureau, is coming in the next hour. David writes this. I stole this quote from a Facebook friend, but I think it makes sense. David writes, maybe the reason Trump doesn't know what to do next is that at this stage in a failure, he usually declares bankruptcy, writes David. And Gary sent in a long email, and I think the numbers about Betsy DeVos's security costs may be true. I'm going to click the email, see if it opens up. And it doesn't open up. Okay, so the headline is from the Washington Post, Betsy DeVos's security cost estimated at $7.87 million for 2020. Arne Duncan slaps her on Twitter for it, and the Education Department hits back. And this is, the date is October 2nd, 2019. So not quite a year ago, but as of last October, Betsy DeVos's security costs were $7.87 million, almost $8 million. We don't know what they are today. But Gary, thank you for that. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks to Barbara Fling. She's been our great phone producer today. She's going to do the same thing in the next hour. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening. This is WMNF in Tampa. Stay tuned for your hero, Mark Bureau. But first, the news.